Let's start at the beginning. What is your musical background?
Well, I had a classical background. I trained from about the age of eight at music college, learning piano, and took up composition about the age of 9 or 10, writing little melodies and tunes just out of fascination, really, with the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And then decided that I preferred writing my own tunes rather than playing other people's tunes. And that led to me going to the Guildhall School of Music and Drama in London, where I studied for 3 years and did piano and composition together as a kind of joint first study, and worked with a wonderful composition teacher called Buxton Orr, a great name, and he was a kind of mixture of a very, very strict classical composer, and he kind of introduced me into that world as well, which was great because a lot of classical music colleges look down a little bit on film music as a career. You know, you were supposed to write very serious compositions for the concert hall.
Right.
So the idea of being a composer for film and for the media was something that he didn't look down on at all because he'd done that himself. So he was a really great inspiration. And that was my training, really. And then when I left music college, it was a case of just trying to get the commissions. Well, I always loved writing to pictures and being inspired by something. And often when I was writing my concert hall pieces at music college, I'd think of a picture or a poem or a scene that I'd, you know, even just driving along in the car, I'd look out the window and see something that would create an image in my mind that I'd then go and write music for. So the idea of the two coming together was always something that inspired me to compose music. I always preferred that to having a blank manuscript,
mm-hmm.
a sheet of manuscript paper. And so I always wanted something as a kind of spark for the inspiration. And so the idea of writing film music came very naturally because I thought, wow, if I get a film with characters and a story, you know, a whole range of possibilities, wouldn't that be fantastic? Because think of all the inspiration that would give you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of writing for film really excited me. And I loved also going to the movies and listening to film scores. And I used to watch them thinking, you know, that must be the greatest job in the world, to be able to bring to life a film with your own music and somehow, you know, express something very individual and unique, and also, you know, being able to hear your music very quickly, because working in the film and television world, you write the music at a pretty, you know, high speed, and then a few weeks later you're in the studio recording it. So all that, the whole idea of it really appealed to me.
Mm-hmm. So what is the first thing you do when beginning to write a score?
The first thing I do is watch the film over and over again many, many times to get it under my skin, to get to know it really well, to understand the characters and the story and the mood of it. And I like to do that on my own without anyone else around, without the director or the producer or anyone to do with the film, just to live with it a bit on my own. So I always try and get the director to send me a copy of the film without any temp music on it, so that I can just really live with it. And that's what I do. I live with it as much as possible before I even put a note down on the page. And then when I feel I really know it and understand it, I'll start sketching ideas. And that's when I'll come up with, you know, maybe a main theme for a character. Sometimes it's not necessarily the beginning of the score. It might be one of the scenes in the middle that I find particularly exciting that I think could be useful to write in order to get some of the other themes that might grow out of it. And it does vary from film to film. You know, not every project is the same. Sometimes I'll write something very quickly. Other times it will take a long time to actually come up with a hook. So that's part of the, you know, the fun of the job, is actually it changes all the time and you're learning all the time as you go.
So a main title is not always the first piece written.
No, I mean, often I like to come up with a theme for the main character. I mean, there was a French film that I did called Arsène Lupin,
mm-hmm.
and the main character of that film was a kind of James Bond almost character. He was a gentleman jewel thief, and he had this big flamboyant personality, and I felt it was necessary to have his theme written first before any of the other music could be written. So I did come up with a main theme, which was the title theme for Arsène. And that was important, to have that in the bag, you know, to be able to know, right, okay, I've nailed that, and make sure that everybody liked it in the team. Because without that main theme for a character, you know, it wouldn't, the score wouldn't have been able to develop. So that was very important. Similarly with Wilde, the film about Oscar Wilde, I had to write a theme for him, because again, that he, you know, the, when you've got a main character in the film that is so dominant, that takes up pretty much 90% of the movie, he's on screen almost all the time, without something that you can really relate to for that character, then I think it's tough to develop a score without that. And it was the same with Jekyll, you know, the score that you emailed me about.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same with that. You know, you've got this character who completely dominates the programs. It's his show. He's in the title. You have to come up with something for him that you can twist and turn in different ways, use in various different arrangements and colors and textures. And that way, you've got something that hopefully unifies the whole score, but also pins it together in a very unique way.
Well, I actually first became aware of your work for the film Tom and Viv.
All right.
How did you come to work on that film?
Well, that was my very first feature film, and I worked on that with the producer, Mark Samuelson, and the director, Brian Gilbert, and they'd heard some of my music in concert, actually. They came to a concert that I did in London and liked some of the music there. You know, it was a great experience, because it was a passionate story, very, very beautifully told, with a fantastic performance by Miranda Richardson as sort of T.S. Eliot.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a fantastic opportunity for a first score through that film, actually. You know, then a lot of other things developed, and then I worked with Brian again on Wilde. So it was, you know, it was a great first step.
Do you approach let's say in the case of one of your other scores, Catherine the Great, do you approach a historical drama any differently than you would, let's say, a regular drama?
Not about whether it's historical or whether it's an action thriller or a very serious drama or an intimate little two-hander. You know, it's more about what the music can do for the pictures. And how it can help what's going on screen. And so it's about finding a unique quality within that drama that you can then turn into music and make something very special for that particular piece. And I love, you know, coming to that for the first time, watching the program, living with it for a little bit, and then coming up with something that to me helps tell the story a little bit. And it completely directly affects the audience. So what you do musically, the audience believe, and if you're giving them something very intense and dark at the beginning of the program, that's what they'll expect to see. If you're playing something very light and frivolous, they might be expecting a comedy. So it immediately gets to the heart and of the piece. I think it's incredibly important to get that absolutely right and to give out the right messages with the music straight away.
So you're not necessarily going for sort of music of the period. You're going for more of a character-driven kind of approach.
It's more of a character-driven approach, definitely. I mean, funnily enough, I've just finished a BBC and HBO drama called The Passion, which is about the last 6 days of Jesus' life on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually not going to be shown on HBO till next year, but it's being shown on the BBC over Easter this year.
Right.
With that, I mean, it's like you couldn't get a bigger story, really, could you? You know, a massive, massive story that everybody knows. And yet it's being told in a different way, and I wanted to make the music feel as if it was part of the time, so it was real. You know, it had to have that kind of ethnic quality, the slightly sort of Arabic-Israeli scales that I used. But at the same time, it also had to be character-driven and help the drama and help the emotion. And you know, the two had to sort of come together. So although I did use some very old ethnic instruments like a duduk, which is a sort of like a very, very early, sounds a bit like an oboe, but a very, very early oboe. And I also use some sort of Arabic scales and Israeli scales and some very sort of poignant, haunting singing as well, which sort of vocal stuff as well going on. But all of it, in the end, had to suit the drama. And none of that would have worked if it didn't, in somehow, you know, have the emotion of the piece behind it. You know, you can't really just take one away from the other, I don't think.
Right. Well, obviously, your main interest, or your main instrument, is not the duduk. How do you, where do you find people to write, or do you write for these instruments and bring in someone else to say, okay, well, this is different, or how do you write for an instrument that you may not necessarily be familiar with?
Well, I mean, I do all my own orchestrations and write for each individual instrument. I've always done that from the very beginning because of my training and because of the way I work. I love that part of the process. And when I write a melody, I decide who's going to play it. You know, I decide if a flute's going to play it or a duduk's going to play it.
Right.
And with these particular ethnic instruments, there was another instrument I used called the ney flute. Mm-hmm. And with these instruments, I hadn't written for them before. So what I did was find the very best players that I could in London who are very, very kind of in tune with their own instruments, know exactly what they can do. And I met with them and spoke with them, and they showed me all the things it could do. And because they're so versatile at playing their instruments, it's almost like writing for a normal Western instrument. You can almost write anything for them, even though they're so primitive. In their sound and primitive in the way you produce the note. Because these players are so versatile, real virtuoso players, I found that I could actually be quite bold with writing and write stuff that I wouldn't normally have dared to write for an instrument that was that primitive. But I did, and they played it absolutely beautifully. And it was just doing a little bit of research, really, working with the players, understanding what, you know, where the instrument sounds best and how it can really produce the notes in the best possible way. Mm-hmm. And then writing stuff that then I felt suited the drama.